The Value of Solitude by William Derezowitz. Loneliness is not the absence of company. It's grief over that absence. The lost sheep is lonely. The shepherd is not lonely. But the internet is as powerful a machine for the production of loneliness as television is for the manufacture of boredom. If 6 hours of television a day creates the aptitude for boredom, the inability to sit still, 100 text messages a day creates the aptitude for loneliness, the inability to be by yourself. Some degree of boredom and loneliness is to be expected, especially among young people, given the way our human environment has been attenuated. But technology amplifies those tendencies. You could call your schoolmates when I was a teenager, but you couldn't call them 100 times a day. You could get together with your friends when I was in college, but you couldn't always get together with them when you wanted to, for the simple reason that you couldn't always find them. If boredom is the great emotion of the TV generation, loneliness is the great emotion of the web generation. We lost the ability to be still, our capacity for idleness. They have lost the ability to be alone, their capacity for solitude. And losing solitude, what have they lost? First, the propensity for introspection, that examination of the self that Puritans and the Romantics and the modernists, and Socrates for that matter, placed at the center of spiritual life, of wisdom, of conduct. Thoreau called it finishing in the Walden Pond of our own natures, baiting our hooks with darkness. Lost, too, is the related propensity for sustained reading. The internet brought text back into a televisual world, but it brought it back on terms dictated by that world, that is, by its remapping of our attention spans. Reading now means skipping and skimming. 5 minutes on the same web page is considered an eternity. This is not reading, as Marilynne Robinson described it, the encounter with a second self in the silence of mental solitude. But we no longer believe in the solitary mind. If the Romantics had Hume and the modernists had Freud, the current psychological model, and this should come as no surprise, is that of the networked or social mind. Evolutionary psychology tells us that our brains develop to interpret complex social signals. According to David Brooks, that reliable index of the social scientific zeitgeist, cognitive scientists tell us that our decision-making is powerfully influenced by social context. Neuroscientists that we have permeable minds that function in part through a process of deep imitation. Psychologists that we're organized by our attachments. Sociologists that our behavior is affected by the power of social networks. The ultimate implication is that there's no mental space that's not social. Contemporary social science dovetailing here with postmodern critical theory. One of the most striking things about the way young people relate to one another today is that they no longer seem to believe in the existence of Thoreau's darkness. Today's young people seem to feel that they can make themselves fully known to one another. They seem to lack a sense of their own depths and of the value of keeping them hidden. If they didn't, they would understand that solitude enables us to secure the integrity of the self as well as to explore it.